In the name of the Father, and the Son, Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Today, the third Sunday of the blessed month of Misra, and the gospel of this blessed Sunday is from St. Mark. And as I said, as we are approaching the end of the Coptic year, so we find the church is reminding us of certain principles that are crucial in our salvation, crucial for our understanding of whom we are, what we are called to do, and how we should live. So today we hear the Lord warning us that if a house is divided against itself, the house cannot stand. We are very familiar with this verse and we know it by heart, but how this can be applied? How can we live in a house that's blessed with unity? People sometimes assume that once we are married, then unity is going to start to stay forever. It is not something that's like going to be maybe eroded or diminished, because the people are living in one house supposedly should be united. But this is not the case. Unity is something that needs maintenance. It needs high maintenance in order for us to maintain this unity. So today we are going to talk about seven principles of a united house. The first one is, in order for a house to be united and guarded against division, all of people living in the same house should share a clear and a common goal, what we are after. When I say this, people say, oh, for sure everybody living in the same house have the same goal. This is not true. Many times people are like islands. Everyone is living for his own purpose, has his own goal in his heart. And what is common about them is their last name, and that is the place where they sleep in at the end of the day. What is the goal of this household? What we are after? We should always try to develop the purpose of living to glorify Christ. It is not a lecture that we say to our children, okay, let us glorify Christ. It is by how we live, what we say, what we do, how we present ourselves outside our homes. Every place we go, we are after the same aim and the same goal, to glorify Christ. When we make a mistake, it's not about the mistake. It's not about somebody like made something wrong. We all do. But at the end of the day, we should know how to change this, how we correct it, how we offer repentance, how we are all living to serve God and serve Him, but not only an official service in the church, but also again with the way we live. When we do something shameful outside of home, the problem does not come on us alone. It comes on the whole household, and it impacts everyone living around us. What is the goal of people living in this house? What we are after, what we try to achieve? The goal of we are living just to spend the days to eat and drink and raise children so they can be independent and live on their own is something that's not wrong. But this is not the ultimate purpose of a family. Family was instituted before the church. God wanted the family to be the unit, to glorify Him, before even He institutes the principle of the house of God or the tabernacle of the meeting. So the first principle, in order for us to maintain a united house, is to have a clear goal. We are all after doing this. The second principle is to acquire the mind of Christ. How we do this? How we get to acquire the mind of Christ? As much as we are familiar with the Bible, as much as the Bible is the book that we refer to in order for us to resolve a conflict or maybe coming to answers, as much as we develop the mind of Christ. Sometimes we debate with our children based on references that they are not going to value or respect. Something like, I am older than you. It doesn't mean because I'm older than I know more or I know better. Sometimes we say that's because we are Egyptians. Who said that Egyptians know exactly what is right and accordingly our children should follow us just because we bring this reference into the debate? So all of these, or sometimes we say to our kids, this is how we were raised. If I am in the place of my kid and I say something like this, they will, in my head, their mind, they will say, who said that you were raised in the right way? So how we have this kind of common reference? The Bible is what judges us. If I say something that has no biblical reference, then I cannot defend it, simply because this is a reference for the whole house. This is how we develop the mind of Christ. When we also aiming at developing this kind of mind, we should always favor the heavenly wisdom. There is wisdom from above, and there is wisdom from below. St. James tells us about these two kinds of wisdom in chapter 3 of his epistle. The people of this world have their own wisdom. They want to be successful, and they do according to the principles of this world. But what kind of wisdom we are teaching our children? What kind of principles we are like bringing them up in order for them to embrace? Do we favor the heavenly wisdom, even if this will make me to incur losses? Or I would regard and respect the wisdom of this age and go with it as far as this is going to make me to navigate safely during my sojourn here on earth. Acquiring the mind of Christ, the Bible, and its central role in our lives. The third principle for a united house is to have one faith. Supposedly, we have one faith, but in reality, sometimes in a household, everybody has his own faith, his own understanding. If you ask people living in the same place, how a man be saved, you can find people answering questions that's not typical of what our church believes in. So when we get like this, if we don't have one faith, how can we have one heart or one mind or one house? This is something very significant for us, to develop the same faith, what we believe in and how we live this kind of belief. A part of our faith is understanding the relationship with the church. This is crucial and this is important. The church for us is not just a place where we gather in, or a place like a clubhouse. We come here in order for us to have some kind of social relationship. And if I don't like the people around me, I just find another place where I can enjoy the fellowship with other members in it. What is the dynamic of like the relationship with the church? What should we do? What is our role and responsibility? How we understand how the church operates and what the church is after? How we know the goal of the church and understand it very well in order for us to have the same mind and live with it? Acquiring one faith is crucial to develop also a united house. The fourth principle is to have mature love. Love is the most abused word, a word that we use in this world. Everybody expresses whatever passion under love. People are living sometimes in a sinful passion and they call it because we love one another. What is mature love? As portrayed in us in the gospel, and as Christ wants us to understand it and living. Mature love means giving priority to unity within the family. I would not trade unity with any other thing. I will always work in order for this unity to be maintained. I will not break it, I will not violate it, in order for me to pursue a personal agenda. Unity comes number one, above even my needs or my wants or whatever I am maybe will be satisfied with. Mature love also is expressed in showing the principle of forgiveness. This forgiveness is what makes us in a way ready to grant it very easily. It's just enough to say, I'm sorry, it's over. We don't have to go in days not talking to one another, even while people are trying. When we do this, we teach our children that it is the same way also with God. It doesn't matter if you say, I'm sorry once or twice or three times. God is going to be angry and he's going to like settle account with you his way. This forgiveness that makes the home a pleasant place. We all make mistakes. It is enough for us to say, I am mistaken, I am sorry. Everything is over, a small discussion, and then we go on. Mature love also is expressed in looking after the well-being of the other. If you want to know if this house is united or not, see when a discussion comes what the people say. Do they say about my rights or do they speak more about your rights. This is again a mature love, the well-being of the people around me. Or am I thinking of myself? It is me. And if it is everything is well with me, I don't care what happens or falls on the people living with me. Mature love also is expressed in remembering the good qualities and the act of sacrifice. In the day of baptism, we say a command to the parents, saying, teach your children good qualities. Teach them love and respect and purity, etc., etc. This is how love is expressed, that I remember to live these qualities, first of all, with the people living in the same household. But your love also is shown in thinking of more of you and less of me. Again, thinking more of my obligations and duties rather than thinking of my rights. The fifth principle is respect, showing utmost respect in our relationship at home. If respect is undermined for any reason, the house cannot stand. You can have a conflict and you can debate, yes, you can say whatever as far as you are observing respect, everything will be okay. But if the language, if the how we treat one another went below this bar of respect, this house cannot stand. It is so sad when we see in our homes domestic violence is going more and more and on the rise. I want you to answer me. If somebody comes and say to Abuna, Abuna, my husband is beating me, what should I say? Putting in consideration that this husband, maybe Abuna talked with him more than once. Then what? What should happen afterwards? When this wife or children will go and report to the husband to the police, who can blame them? Who can say this is not right? You should always obey your husband, submit to him. What about the husband not observing this kind of principle, not showing enough respect to the people living with him? Respect also is to be shown to differences. We are different. We come from different backgrounds. Even people living in the same house, we were raised in a certain way. We understand things differently. We have certain abilities, and also we have limitations. We have relationships from before the marriage. All of this should be respected. A husband coming to fight with his wife about her relationship with his parents, or the opposite, a wife fighting with her husband about his relationship with her in-laws. What is this going to get us? No one can change his family. I cannot change my parents. I cannot teach them, or I go back and raise them. They are whom they are. The part of respect that we show to the relationship is something crucial to maintain unity. Also, showing respect to weaknesses. I know that you have this weakness, and you know my weakness as well. When we respect this, and we do not like make it as an issue for maybe saying something negative or insulting, knowing where I can hit you, and this is going, I know because I know your weakness. Respect also is manifested in showing justice and fair treatment. We demand justice from everyone we deal with, and we are very sensitive whenever we are treated unfairly. The child may be like 3 years before he says even Baba or Mama, he says it's not fair. He knows what is fair and what is not fair. But how we apply justice at home? Do we have the same standard when we value things? Whatever applied on me exactly applies on the other person? Or do I grant myself more rights under anything? Under I am the man of the house, I know more, I am the one who works and bring the money. All of these reasons really do not justify we fail to be fair and be just in our relationships inside the home. Respect also is showing into commitments. If my parents entrusted me over something and I committed to it, respect is by observing this nice story in the book of Jeremiah about the household of family called the Rechabites. God said to Jeremiah, invite the Rechabites to your home, invite them, I'm sorry, not to your home, to the house of God, and offer them wine to drink. This is God asking his prophet to invite a family to give them wine to drink in the house of God. Jeremiah went, invited the family, offer them wine to drink. So they told him, what? No, we don't drink wine. And he asked, why? They said, because our father, who passed away many years ago, told us not to drink wine. And that's why we observe this and we will never do it. Look here at this family. It is the man of God coming with an order of God, asking this family to come and drink wine in the house of God. And they say no, simply because we are committed to what our father told us. Do we have the same kind of commitment? Whatever I am told or I am raised to observe and respect, I will always do it, even if I am not watched, even if my parents are not looking after whatever I am doing. This is respect. The sixth principle of a united house is that this house stands to observe sound principles. What do I mean by sound principles? Sound principles are shown in how we act versus what we say. Do we teach something and we do something else? And the people can see this. Sound principle also is portrayed in having the same image inside and outside the house. We love one another truly, inside and outside. We respect each other inside and outside. The way we act is the same way inside the church and outside the church, inside our home, outside our home. It's the same, something that's consistent, showing consistent choice wherever we are, whatever we do. Sometimes whenever we are on a vacation, and this vacation comes during a fasting time, it's easy that we say we are not going to fast. Why? Are we taking vacation from the fasting, or are we taking vacation in order for us to have a time together and enjoy fellowship? How vacation is a solution to break fasting? Sounding principles also are shown in being secure in whom we are, refraining from the temptation of being conformed to the world. Sometimes whenever an occasion like Halloween comes, parents come and debate, saying our children will feel that they are isolated and this will make them feel like they are not from the same community. What if the community now started to worship Baal or do whatever? We are getting there anyhow. So what we are going to do? Are we going to say, yes, this because the community is doing this, we are going to do the same? Or are we going to say, no, we observe certain principles and we are secure in being Orthodox Coptic people. We understand things in a certain way. We know the Bible in a certain way. The family, the church teaches us in a certain way. And this is how we live. And we have no problem with this, even if we are going to be the last house standing, doing, or living by these principles. The seventh principle is the pursuit of holiness. This is the ultimate pursuit of all of us. Because without holiness, we cannot see God. This is what we hear from St. Paul speaking to the Hebrews. What is the commitment of all of us? Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Every day we pray in order for us to attain holiness. Every week we attend the liturgy as much as we can in order for us to perfect holiness. We confess and we repent. We say, I'm sorry. We read the Bible in order for us to change, in order for us to perfect holiness. This is what, at the end of the day, our pursuit. We are not doing this as mere rituals, just checking the box, and at the end of the day, we make God happy because we prayed. This is not the aim. It is this pursuit of holiness. Let us teach our children that this holiness is attainable. Living pure in a corrupt world is something that can be done. It is not under impossible. Or we say there is no one is doing this accordingly. We put our bar to the floor and how people are living, then we imitate them. It is this pursuit of holiness that makes the house united. So sad when we see in a culture or community like this these days, how is the rate of failing in fidelity. So why we get there? What this threat to our homes? In order for us to be able to stand, we have to always pursue holiness. So today Christ is reminding us, the church is telling us at the end of a Coptic year almost, that we have to observe for our homes not to be divided, in order for our homes to stand. In order for our homes to be united, we have to observe these principles. Number one is the clear goal, the mind of Christ, having one faith, having mature love, develop utmost respect to one another, being raised on sound principles, and in the end, the pursuit of holiness every and each day, and glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.